So with all that's already begun in this service today, you might have guessed it's a different kind of a season. We're in the season of Advent. And Advent is most significantly an in-between kind of time of year. And our sermon series that we're beginning today and going to continue through Christmas is about living in between. And this is an in-between time, not just between the end of last year before we get to the celebration of Christmas, but it is in between what was and what is to be. It's between what has already happened and what is yet to occur. It is about the reign of God that is present among us and the reign of God that is not yet. A time of anticipation and expectancy. To live the Christian journey with expectancy at its most basic level is to be resident really in two worlds. We live fully, of course, in the here and now with all of its joys and sorrows, its victories, its setbacks, in everyday ordinary life. Our lives are very much embodied in this world. We love, we laugh, we get tired, we make mistakes. We hurt, we rejoice, we grieve in this journey through this wonderful creation and recreation that God is gifting to us. But we also live in anticipation of the life to come. Having entered into the near end of the eternal journey through our waters of baptism and through our practices of belief and faith, we are in between the coming of Christ and his coming again, living now with hopeful expectancy that empowers us and sustains us. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the beginning of a new liturgical year, day number one on the Christian calendar. And yet today is the day when our texts ask us to consider the end of the story. Our readings invite us into this anticipation and expectancy, not with the kind of commercial expectancy that the department stores have been promoting since Labor Day, and not even with the kind of expectancy of the baby laying in a manger, but with an expectancy of the end of time, the end of my time, the end of your time, the fulfillment of all that God has made and redeemed. It seems to me that we hear a lot these days about a kind of pending apocalyptic end to the world. And indeed, our readings today, especially the gospel, talks about a time when many will be fearful. Sometimes this talk about an apocalyptic end comes in a religious language. Many Christians seem to be sort of watching and waiting, and they look at the droughts, the earthquakes, the floods, and the famines, the rise of dreaded diseases like Ebola and so on, as just signs that it all is coming to a crashing end. But of course, it's not just Christians or religious people who have this kind of view. Many of us are extremely concerned about the future. A few weeks ago, EcoLock, the environmental coalition of churches here in our neighborhood, hosted here in this place the screening of a film on the Trans Mountain Pipeline. It was a very informative evening. One of the leading environmentalists in our city was invited to introduce the film and to say a few words following. And he's someone that we have known for years. In fact, I remember him speaking here at St. John's a few years ago when we screened Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth. That was a while ago. And what struck me at this recent event was the fact that our friend had become so pessimistic about the future of our world, and indeed even the future of the environmental movement. Really, he seemed to lose hope that the world will avert the coming catastrophe. And certainly we know that we live in urgent times as we think about our stewardship of this earth. But of course, our concerns are not only about things like the environment. We have very real social concerns as well. We hear people in our neighborhood saying things like, well, life just isn't the way it used to be. Things seem to be getting worse. People complain in our neighborhood that we can no longer feel like we can move around with safety, with a trusting confidence. In our faith communities, many Christian churches among them have their own brand of fear for the future. In an age where more and more people consider themselves spiritual but not religious, many churches are concerned about their sustainability. Survival is questioned, and decline and decay seem to be the direction things are headed in many places. In the midst of all this doom and gloom, and indeed even in the midst of the doom and gloom that Jesus paints a picture of at the beginning of our gospel today, he says this. And it's important we don't miss it. He says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. Now, this is not a message of doom and gloom. He didn't say, as the destructionists might say, when the fig tree loses its leaves, you will know that the winter is coming. No, he's not talking about winter. Listen again to what he said. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. He's talking about a springtime. He's talking about sprouting leaves that are signs that summer, a time of productivity and fruitfulness, is just around the corner. So describing an anticipated kingdom, describing the promised future, Jesus speaks about summer, new life, not winter barrenness and death. And we miss that subtle detail if we concentrate only on what seems to be passing away, being torn down, and being lost. And yes, there are things that are passing away. Some things are being torn down. But what about the new things that are sprouting up and being built up? Let's have eyes to see those. We have, for example, in this parish, a large number of educators, people who are involved in the profession of teaching. We know that there are issues in our schools. I know that teachers work very hard, and I know often teachers are frustrated that things are not working as well as they should be in their schools. And I know that from talking to parents and students as well. And we could focus only on the problems and come to the conclusion that things are just bad all the time. Or we can notice and affirm that the children and youth whose minds and hearts are growing, who are fed and prepared and tutored by so many fine, dedicated teachers, and we can look at them and see the fruit of this work in many fine young people who are in our midst, who themselves are budding leaves on the fig tree. We can look at our young people and see signs of hope for the future. And there are other budding leaves that are easy to overlook. Sections of our city are decaying and many people live in terrible conditions. Other sections of our city are experiencing a renewal of sorts with gentrification. New businesses, new housing, and renovation are coming to some areas. But too often, even in those cases, the more vulnerable who live in these neighborhoods are displaced. And aggressive tactics of landlords push them out. But we do see budding leaves on the fig tree where work of individuals and organizations like Indwell, with whom we partner, people of faith and others committed to the common good, who are building new homes for vulnerable people. Just a year ago, I was standing here telling you about the tour that our friend Graham Cubitt gave me of the former George and Marie's Tavern down at Melvin and Parkdale in our city. And I told you about what I witnessed when I went through that building and what was really indescribable squalor that some of our neighbors live in. And I said, you know, it's one thing if people choose to live in those kinds of conditions, but it's entirely another if they have no choice but live in those conditions. And less than a year later, just a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of touring the new Parkdale Landing, which saw that same building transformed into hope and homes for our vulnerable neighbors. Green leaves on a fig tree. There are many families, individuals, seniors who live in poverty in our city. And through the work of our St. Matthew's House, through the generosity of many people in this room, hundreds of children and lonely people are going to receive gifts of Christmas gifts and food this season. And this is going to be repeated in countless agencies across our city in the coming weeks. More green leaves on the fig tree. Across the world, people are hungry, cold, and dying, but communities of faith are reaching out with sustainable provisions, food sources, clean drinking water, heat and safety. In our Anglican church, we have a relief and development arm that we call the Primates World Relief and Development Fund, or PWRDF. I say this for the benefit of the new Anglicans in the room. You'll hear us talk about PWRDF, and you'll say, what the heck is that? But you know, in countless places around the world, in communities in our own country where disaster strikes, we see green leaves on the fig tree because the kingdom work is being done. Haiti is one of the poorest nations in the Western Hemisphere. And it seems that year after year, they experience one devastation after another. There doesn't seem to be a hurricane or storm that passes by that island. They've known devastating earthquakes from which they never seem to recover. Our parish has a special relationship with Hôpital Albert Schweitzer in Deschapelles, Haiti. And there we are able to make a powerful impact in terms of basic health care, maternal health, infant care, and treatment of all kinds. Green leaves again on the fig tree. And so this Advent season, I'd like to invite us to look carefully. To look carefully this Advent because we can see how we might participate in the coming kingdom of new life. Where are the green leaves sprouting around you? Where is God at work? How might God be calling you to tend to those sprouts and to nurture that new life? So this morning I welcome you to the season of Advent, a season to celebrate these signs of new life. Among the mantras of pessimism and doomsday prophecies, the Lord who will return in glorious appearing is already bringing us signs of peace, of sustainable community, of mutual care, of generous inclusion, of hope and promise and fulfillment. And so instead of pessimism, let our mantra, our prayer, be one of hope as we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Thanks be to God. Amen.